Welcome to the Free Cities Podcast. My name is Timothy Allen, and this is the official podcast of the Free Cities Foundation. Hello, and welcome to episode number 58 of the Free Cities Podcast. Well, this is my last episode of 2023. I suspect this also might turn out to be one of my briefest intros of the year, not because my guest this week doesn't warrant it, but because I've had to steal a brief amount of time away from my extended family during our holiday get-togethers, and I really should get back to them very soon. I know you'll forgive me. Anyway, you don't come here for my intros. You come here for the great guests that we have on this show, and this week, once again, I suspect you won't be disappointed. I'm speaking with Vit Yelichka, a man the pronunciation of whose name I've been grappling with for many months now. He's the founder and the president of the Free Republic of Liberland, which is a new micronation formed in 2015, who claimed an uninhabited parcel of disputed land on the western bank of the Danube River between Croatia and Serbia. Anyway, Liberland's story is absolutely fascinating, and if this is your first exposure to it, then you should definitely use this interview as a springboard from which to investigate the whole thing much further. There's certainly a lot more to discover online. Once again, apologies for being very brief, but those mince pies aren't going to eat themselves. Anyway, enjoy the rest of the holidays, and I will see you fresh and invigorated in 2024. But right now, before any of that happens, please be my guest to sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with Vit Yelichka. I'm deliberately uninformed. I've been avoiding all this stuff because I knew I was actually going to get to have a conversation with you.
Okay.
And so I prefer, I mean, there's a lot of things are spoken about what you do and about your project. Right. And I'd much rather hear it from you. So okay. I know roughly what's been going on recently. I know roughly the history of the place. I know roughly the history of you, but really, in all honesty, I'd much rather hear your side of the story. So do you think you could start off with who you are first before we get on to the good stuff? Let's find out who you are first.
All right. Okay. So where do you want me to start?
Well, you were a politician, right?
Not really, no. I don't consider myself a politician. I've never been actually a real politician. So I was more on educative side of things, always trying to help and maybe helping running a little bit of the campaigns at some point, but never really a politician. I mean, I never considered myself to be a political person, and I was never, when I had to do it, I was never really excited about it. I was always excited about educating people, and I always wanted to do something more substantial than politics.
All right, then. Give us your background, then.
Well, I studied political science, and I have also a degree from monetary politics as well as partially from diplomacy. So it's a good mixture, and I always was trying to find some way that would really have international impact, because I felt there is a huge problem with the politics globally, or with the countries globally, that there is so much suboptimal activity going on in terms of regulation, taxation, and there is the enormous destruction of prosperity as well as happiness globally because of governments, be it by wars or by overregulation or overtaxation. And I felt that there is a huge place for improvement. And at some point, after having a lot of YouTube videos and educating people and also helping to start a Libertarian Party, and then after visiting European Parliament for quite a bit, I realized that there is no chance of changing things from within, that things have to really be changed from outside. And there is this famous quote that you never change things by fighting existing reality, that you have to start something new. And I think that's pretty much valid. It might be much easier to start a new country than to fix existing one.
Fair enough. So how did Liberland start in the first instance? Presumably it was an idea first, and then it was a place, and or was it a place first?
No. It was first the idea. No, we knew that we wanted to start a country. We're looking at the best possible places. We also understood that there is a lot of free space on this planet, but because of these conceptual games of nation states and the flags and the territories, it's quite difficult to find a free spot to start a new country. But at the end, it wasn't that difficult. You just use Google no man's land, and you end up with an article on Wikipedia where Liberland was listed at the time, and now it's correctly not listed, no longer listed in no man's land, because it's now listed under the parastate of Liberland. So it's kind of exciting to see that move.
That's
Liberland
interesting.
Liberland used to be among the no man's lands on this planet.
So there's a Wikipedia page on no man's lands around the world. Yes. What are some of the other places?
Well, there are a few places, of course. The other famous place between Egypt and Sudan, but there is a much more difficult situation than it was in Liberland. That's what we figured out right away when we were studying things. Antarctica, yeah, funnily enough, it was already claimed by Liberlanders as well. They visited this place and they stick the flag, but I'm not pushing that claim too strongly. Then there are other places, Cyprus, northern Cyprus, which are really not good idea to start a new country at because of this with high war tensions still there. So I would tell you that yes, Liberland was a great spot, and I think it's still the best option for any freedom-oriented people to start a new country. And there are not a single change in it. And the great thing about it is that the legally hasn't changed a bit. You know, we're still the only entity in the world that claims this territory.
Can you describe it as you found it once you discovered that there was this bit of this area that was unclaimed, and then checked it out obviously on Google Maps? What does it look like? And
well, I immediately fell in love because it's heart-shaped. So that was a main thing. And then when I figured out actually there are sandy beaches, and half of the shore of Liberland is a beautiful sandy island, Liberty Island, where now all the settlers are living, actually not all of them, but I would say 80% of settlers that moved to Liberland are living, and that is really a kind of a paradise-like environment, which is a good scenery for starting a new country.
And if I was to look at it from, I want to give people listening an idea of the topography of it. Mm-hmm. Can you describe it from the air? I mean, how big is it?
It's 7 square kilometers.
Sorry, how many?
7 square kilometers.
Seven.
3 times bigger than Monaco. So we're actually the third smallest country in the world. And most of it is covered by the trees. But there are places which are kind of not covered. There is a nice place for strip for landing of airplanes in the south. We already delimited the south place, like the most south plot, to be the cemetery. And if you go north, then there is this historical center where with this hunting lodge, actually, that we very recently figured out who built it, which is pretty cool. And
who was that?
I'm not going to tell you that yet, but it's kind of exciting to find out after so many years. And also we are in contact with him right now. So it's a very nice historical center. There used to be 3 buildings in the center. In 2018, Croatians came 3 years after we created Liberland, and they bulldozed those buildings. So we started to refurbish the basement of those buildings right away when I settled Liberland with a bunch of other Liberlanders back in August this year. That was the first thing that we started, and we still plan to make substantial move towards rebuilding these buildings this year. And then there is a north part, which basically right now is Liberland Marina, where also 7-8 people are now living on this houseboat called Swan. So it's a nice 4 or 5 kilometer bike ride when you go through Liberland, and right next to Liberland is this sandy island, because we are on Danube River, which is 1 kilometer wide. And there is a beautiful sandy island called Liberty Island, on which most of the settlers now live.
And can you tell me a little about the history of the place? And for example, it's hunting lodges. Local people historically have always considered it just what, part of a country or free or not, well, even thought about it?
Well, it used to be part of Yugoslavia. So basically when the Yugoslavia split into different countries, nobody claimed it after. That's the latest development in this regard. And when we claimed it in 2015, Croatia started protecting our borders against anybody, and even against Croatian citizens, because they said, no, we are protecting this on behalf of Serbia. But Serbia stopped claiming the territory some 25 years ago. They deleted all the information about this territory from its cadastral maps. They bought actually off all the private land. Anything that they could buy off, they bought it off. And then they deleted it from their own cadastral. So basically giving up the claim on both private level as well as on the sovereign level.
So just once again, describe the current situation of borders nearby, or and how it sort of sits in that topography then.
Well, we have 5 kilometers of borders with Croatia, but 90% of that is a water channel, which is like 30 meters wide. And then we have a small connection of, 200 meters of land connection with Croatia. And on the other side, we have this beautiful island and then this Danube River, which is 1 kilometer wide. And that is right across Serbia. So we have two neighbors, which we have to consider in our development. And Croatia is the closer one. That's the only one that we are dealing with, because Serbia, when we started Liberland, 11 days after we started Liberland, they issued official statement that they don't mind creation of Liberland on this territory, that it's not part of the territory of Republic of Serbia. So that was very useful claim and a very useful statement from their side, because we found out that we at least don't have any kind of problem with one of our neighbors.
But Croatia actually does have a land bridge to you.
Yes.
And Serbia doesn't.
Yes.
And is that part of the reason why Croatia is sort of more interested in what you're doing than Serbia?
Well, partially that could be the case, but for them it would be completely rational if they did the same thing like Serbia did, that they would state they don't mind creation of Liberland on this territory because it's not within their borders, because that is only thing that is in line with their territorial claims. So if they would ever said that Liberland is part of their territory, they're automatically losing the claim for another 10 times bigger territories on the other side of the river.
Sorry, I don't understand that.
Yes, so there is a border dispute between Croatia and Serbia, and Croatia is actually correct according to standard international laws. They claim the old borders as they used to be before the river changed path.
Ah.
And these old borders basically mean that Croatia has 10 times bigger territory on the other side. Any kind of reasonable arbitration court will decide in line with standard international law procedures that the old border applies. And that means that Croatia should gain 10 times bigger territory on the other side of the river. But they can only gain this if they are not going to claim territory of Liberland.
So Liberland was never part of Croatia?
Never, yes.
Okay. And why did the river change course?
It was straightened. It was a big project beginning of the century, last century, that there were people with horses and they were digging like crazy, and they made sure that they made it 2 times shorter, the whole path. It was very curvy. And they just wanted to make sure that Danube is a good transportation road.
And do you think Croatia, if Liberland hadn't come into existence, do you think Croatia would care about the land on the other side of the Danube?
Of course they do. you know, that they always cared about land. They're a very land-oriented nation, I would say. They're very picky and touchy about any kind of territorial claims. So they actually have border dispute with every single one of their neighbors.
Oh, right. But when they, who was it who decided to straighten the river? Was it them or was it Serbia?
It was basically back in the days when these countries were forming, kind of. And they already started this project during Austro-Hungarian Empire. So they didn't have to do much with it, right? And it was happening when the two countries were basically same territory. And then there was some finishing of that project during Yugoslavia time, but it was kind of irrelevant because it was one country at the time. But on the other hand, they were still these two basically sub countries in it, which was Croatia and Serbia, and from there the cataster maps and everything basically historically stems from.
Right. So just so I'm going to go over that one more time. So Serbia doesn't have any interest in you at all. As far as they're concerned, you're fine.
Yes.
Croatia has this predicament that officially they don't own your Liberland. They actually own some other pieces of land which are on account of the river changing shape. But if they decide to claim your land, then is that them admitting they only own this side of the river?
Yes, exactly.
Right, okay. Well, that's interesting. And what's the legal precedent there? You know, has that ever been, how much legality is there? Has it ever gone to the situation where someone's tried to prove legally that this is the case, or it's not been in court?
Well, right now there are some 100+ court cases going on where we're looking forward to get a proof that Croatia doesn't claim this land by their own courts, which I think would be great. Unfortunately, their courts are very slow. So, or the other option is that they're putting these things purposefully into the shelf in order to, because what they are claiming is the control over the borders of Liberland. And they basically have given up us a big, huge favor that they opened the borders to Liberland on August 6th.
And what does that mean?
That means that for 8 years we couldn't even enter properly Liberland without being arrested by Croatia.
Because they were claiming
control over the border.
Just the border.
Because they're a sovereign country, they could throw in jail anybody that they wanted.
Couldn't you come from the Serbian side, though?
They claimed control over the borders of our territory. They didn't claim the territory, basically.
That's interesting. Well, so meaning that you have to travel through Croatia in order to get to Liberland, therefore they're stopping the border crossing?
Well, right now it's open. That's a great, great gift from Croatia. That it was actually a result of, I would say, pretty strong pressure that we were escalating over the 8 years to be able to inhabit the parcel that we claimed. And that now is a successful, which is a huge, huge success for our nation. So for 8 years, Croatia was strongly preventing us from accessing it. And then the spring this year, we had this O Milana video that now has more than 9 million views, where this famous YouTuber gets beaten for sticking the flag. And after, you know, he was there 3 weeks doing the video. So he tried to go from this side and from this side, from this side. And ultimately he came from Hungary and was able with the speed jet skis to get inside of Liberland and stuck the flag right in the middle, after which he gets beaten by the bunch of Croatian police.
Really?
Without any like legal reason whatsoever. But that was a very, very strong thing, right? There is only 4 million Croatians, basically, and 9 million views is a big promotional video about Liberland and about Croatian relations. But then there was another very important thing, is that I also personally met the president of Croatia in June, and it was a very friendly meeting. And I would say one of the keys to opening of the borders. And then another fact that Croatia actually joined the Schengen, and then they lost partially their sovereignty over their borders. That was, I think, also important step. So all these three elements led to the fact that Croatia opened the borders with Liberland. It was very nice, actually, that day, because I believe that there was full instruction to basically open the borders for us. And And from that time on, we are just making steps towards development of Liberland to make it more inhabitable day by day. We had a lot of challenges that were set by Croatia, and we are always kind of excited whatever new things Croatia comes up with, because what we are considering is that Croatia is mentoring us to full statehood right now.
Mentoring?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was going to go there next anyway, because I the first time I spoke to you was this time last year, and I was relatively new to the Free Cities idea, and I'd never heard of Liberland before. And I remember you said one thing which really resonated with me, that you decided that it was much easier to start a new nation than to try and, you know, change an old one. So what is the process of starting a new country?
Well, you really need to build a nation. You need to build some sort of history, some culture, some legacy. And that's what we are doing right now. So it's not like, you know, many people, like, for example, Onassis family, try to start a country just with money. It's not possible. You really need a combination of capital, human resources, and the excitement to build a nation state, which I believe right now Liberland has. And when you have all these elements in place, there is basically nothing that can start proper excited nation to be prevented from forming a nation state. Sometimes it can take a long time, like the Jews were thousands of years without proper state, but sometimes it can be also quite fast, like Liberlanders were able to inhabit the territory within 8 years.
But I mean, what about, you know, the legality of it, or the being acknowledged by other nations as a nation, or, you know, how does that process work?
Which, you know, is very interesting. Firstly, you know, Montevideo criteria for statehood are very straightforward in the fact that you don't need recognition by other states in order to have a state, which is interesting, but that's how it's written, and it's written there for the reason, right? Like, you really don't need to have acknowledgement by other states in order to fulfill the statehood criteria, and we do fulfill them now. We were fulfilling them with one eye closed for 8 years, and that's what this Chicago Journal of International Law that writes about Liberland argued at the very beginning, that the only reason why we don't have population inside of the territory of Liberland is because of the violent actions by Croatia. And it was true. You know, Liberland would be inhabited straight away from 2015 if Croatia wasn't throwing everybody in jail whenever they tried to visit.
What are the criteria?
Of course, the criteria is capacity to govern, population, permanent population, ability to have diplomatic relation, and control over the territory.
And you feel you have all of those. I mean, what talk about diplomacy, and can I go to another nation somewhere and there's diplomatic relations between Liberland and themselves?
Yes, we do have some 7 countries, I believe, right now, where we signed some sort of treaty, where we were, for example, unilaterally recognized by Liberia recently. They thanked us for their help within the election, and because we provided them with some blockchain technology. That was very exciting. So, and we signed agreement with Somaliland, with Haiti, with Dominican Republic. We got quite a lot of support from El Salvador, Malawi, Mali. So we've got quite a few countries that we are already able to diplomatically work with. I just came from United States, where I was speaking with the most important people from the Republican Party. I came also back from India, where I was at the same table with the people directly from the council of the prime minister. And I also been to Georgia, where I spoke with the people from the foreign committee about the future relations between Liberland and Georgia. So that this all happened just last week. We're pushing quite hard on the diplomatic stage to get Liberland fully recognized. It's not the most important thing, but it's a nice thing to have. I think that's my role as a president, to make sure that these things are happening. And what I would like to talk about actually is more of what Liberland brings new to the table of nation states, and I think it's quite a bit of things, because those are all kind of traditional things that we're talking about. But what really are the new ideas that Liberland is offering to the world? Why I think it's very important that the world recognizes it rather sooner and later, and why maybe we will get this kind of recognition much faster than expected from people that are also getting into the positions of power, like a new Argentinian president. Let me knock on the wood. Mr. Milei, who is very, very favorable to idea of Liberland, and who already said during his campaign that he's actually coming from Liberland, not from Argentina, in order to fight that a particular election. So
I didn't know that. What's the connection? He knows about Liberland, and he's not been to visit.
No, we never met. He has just decided that he is coming from Liberland to win the elections in Argentina, and now right now he is the most popular presidential candidate. If he won in the first round, it would be wonderful. And it's got like 34-35% of popular support right now.
But wait a minute, what do you mean? He comes from Liberland. What what's he said publicly?
Yeah, that's what he said already twice.
Yeah, in what context though? That his nationality is Liberland.
Yes.
Really? Yeah. Why is that then? Just as a kind of publicity for you, or what? You know, or just publicity for the idea of libertarianism or new nation states? What?
Well, you know, because there is libertarianism, and that includes a lot of people. That includes a lot of people, and they like to talk about it, you know. But then there are Liberlanders. Those are people that just don't talk about freedom, and they don't compromise about it, and they just do it. And when these people actually meet, they can recognize each other, right? And we are not too many. We are probably 1% out of the 1% of global population. And it's actually a huge difference anyway, you know. There are so many people that like to talk about liberty, but they don't do anything. They don't even get second citizenship, you know. They don't even, you know, help people to live in a freer tax environment, etc. But then they're like, I would say, straightforward Liberlanders that just want their own country and they want to get things done. And these people, they live all around the world. We are not too many, but we are very powerful as a nation. And I hope we will be able to get this snowball rolling over the coming years.
What is the governance model of Liberland then? How far have you got with things like that?
I would say everything is pretty excitingly 90%, 95% finished. We came up with the governance structure in which basically a corporation, which is formed out of taxpayers, is in check by democracy and by republic, and also by House of Lords of Liberland, which is the Senate. So we have I would say, the most competitive system of governance, but that has to behave in a way that it doesn't infringe the will of majority of citizens. So we are also democratic, doesn't infringe on the constitutional setup, which is pretty much inspired by US Constitution as it was at the very beginning, and that doesn't infringe against the will of people that had some substantial influence over the formation of the country. And that way I think we are really able to find or build the best possible governance, very competitive ones that will really elect the people that the taxpayers or people that paid for the creation of the country by paying taxes decide they want to see, but on the other hand not going against these three other interest groups.
And what are the barriers to entry to become a Liberlander then?
Not much. Right now we only have to spend 25 days in Liberland, which is, I think, pretty cool offer for many people.
And what does citizenship afford you?
You get 10,000, you get 5,000 merits.
Which is your own currency?
Which is the share of Liberland. This is something which you get always when you pay taxes in Liberland. And you also get the citizenship, you get a passport, etc. But these 5,000 merits, I think it's a great offer for people that come and settle Liberland with us, because we're also going with these merits on exchanges. But what you're getting is not fully tradable, 5,000 merits. They're staked merits. Staked in the sense that you can only unstake 10% a year. So that way you basically can use some of the social security of Liberland, but you're literally selling the shares of Liberland that you have acquired through your help to Liberland itself. So there is something like universal basic income, but it's not really universal basic income because you really need to first give something to be able to receive it later.
And is any of the island for sale? I mean, how do you have a, say someone wants to come settle, build a place, how does it work?
If anybody has 5,000 merries, they have the right to settle 500 meters of land. They just need to build something there and we will mark it in the cataster maps.
And how are you dealing with things like building regulations or like this kind of stuff? Is it just, you're just saying...
It's people's responsibility, you know, yeah. If they build something which breaks, then it's their problem in a way. We might start looking into it later on, but right now it's not really that important. We're just excited that people are building.
Or planning as well, that's what I meant. More so than
this
building.
This is another exciting thing, actually. We have a lot of different urban design plans, and some of them were done by the most famous architectural companies like Zaha Hadid Architects that were here actually with us on the conference. Patrick Schumacher, I would say, is a great support. But we are not using those. I'm just excited that people are now actually coming and they're choosing their plots of land and they start to build. We will probably close this down in 2 or 3 months and then we will make a better urban plan out of it. But I really like the fact that people are respecting the landscape and the natural environment right now of Liberland as it is, and they're kind of fitting themselves into it. And basically this is really first comes first served. And another cool thing is that when people have these 5,000 merits, they don't lose these merits while settling Liberland. So they get kind of a double value. They still keep the shares of Liberland, and that means they could also have dividends in the future from these shares, but at the same time, they also get a plot of land.
And if someone was wanting to build on Liberland, where are they likely to be getting building materials from? Which side of the...
Well, our Croatia, Serbia, Hungary. Hungary, recently we found out there is cheaper materials than in Croatia, and it's very easy to send with the river.
So straight down the river.
Yes, okay, yes. So it's quite easy from that perspective. And from Croatia also quite a lot of good things, you know, good furniture we bought quite a bit already. Good wooden houses, these garden wooden houses we also bought quite a bit. In Serbia, much cheaper wood. So we are, for example, buying acacia, this wood, which really takes a lot from Serbia. So we want to make everybody happy, make everybody as much business as possible and start building a...
So can you describe the current situation of buildings and building in a bit more detail? Like who's there at the moment, for example, and what are they living in and what is day-to-day life like?
Well, right now there are roughly 15 settlers.
15.
Yes, and they started yesterday building from the sandbags. So they decided that the next architectural layer is going to be made out of... It's quite a nice architecture, by the way. You can make these nice domey structures out of sandbags, and this is something which can also sustain flood. Kind of bunker-like structure. It's difficult to destroy if Croatians ever decided they're coming down to tear the buildings down. They will have a little bit of problem with that because we're literally building small bunkers. But we are not in that situation. And we already had Croatians coming down once and we were expecting them. That was on 21st of September. That was a very historical moment of the first visit of Croatians. In not that very friendly way as we would like them to come, but on the other hand, we were expecting it. It's kind of a traditional ceremony that you invade your neighbor when you start a country on Balkans, and we didn't want to skip that ceremony as well.
So can you describe what happened? And what, first of all, were you aware that it was about to happen?
Yes, we were expecting it 1 month before that. I was actually announcing that to my channels on 21st of August, so exactly 1 month before when it actually happened. Because they always kept telling us that they will come and they will raid us, but then I figured out that they were joking partially about it, but on the other hand, I also understood that they were preparing it on some other level. And I also understood that they cannot do this too many times. Of course, this was a great PR, and that's why we didn't push for building too much. So we had like five, six buildings there. mostly wooden cottages that you can buy for 2,000-3,000 euro from the supermarket, but nice ones, you know, and very nice kitchen and bar and everything. And then they came in territory down everything. So
how did that? What destroyed everything?
Yes, yes.
With just how burning or
no? Just smashed no big. Some of the buildings they were able to take with the forklift and take them the whole thing. And funnily enough, it's still there. And of course, they created themselves enormous problems because they came without any paperwork, not following any Croatia or any other law, basically. They just came as a bunch of thieves. And not just that they take the buildings, but they also took the personal property of the people that were living there. Most of it, not whatever you could hold in their in your hands, they didn't take. But what if you put something on the in the grass, they immediately went and stole it. So it's also a very funny situation in which we are suing Croatia now from multiple different jurisdictions, not just from Croatia, for all these robbery actions. And I think it's not possible for them to do this for long, because simply, you know, first of all, it's a good joke, but if you repeat similar joke too many times, it's not a good joke. And second of all, really the amount of like bad PR that they received at the police station, I don't think pick up the phone for like 2 days or 2-3 days, because all the Croatian media were calling them, why are you robbing in Liberland?
Can I ask you then, in Croatia itself, have you got a gauge on what the general feeling is from, say, the general population who know? I mean, first of all, how many people know about Liberland in Croatia?
I would say 70% is supportive of what we're doing, you know, and then, but of course, they also understand that, especially the border police, for them, it's become a little bit of thing of a pride, and they kind of lost it while they had 2 people let go in Liberland after 8 years. But on the other side, they really have to sense this amazing opportunity also for them. You know, we announced already that the salaries of Croatian policemen, or the salary of Liberland policemen, will be 3 times higher than that of the Croatian policemen. So many of them actually applied for the job, especially since beginning of the next year. It seems like we are doing things randomly, but right now things are actually pre-planned for half year ahead already, you know, and we have all the scenarios, all the possible scenarios that can happen already pre-planned. We are not that random anymore. We're actually organized group of more than 100 people, more than half of them actually working full-time. So we're an organization that is bigger in the sense than some of the governments already, and we know what we are doing, and we are doing it step by step.
And in Croatia, on the mainland, how close is the nearest town, and is there a road that comes to near the...
There is Majevac. There is a road. It's international bicycle road. Now, Liberlanders are forbidden to drive bicycles on this international bicycle road, interestingly.
By who? The Croatian government?
Yeah, the Croatian police.
But how do they know if you're from Liberland, though?
They can recognize that, but it's really funny. Like they, because what is happening, basically, that the old world is clashing with the new world, right, in Liberland. And it's kind of a frontier which is completely without violence, basically, almost, but it's this frontier of ideas clashing. And the approach of Croatia is to crash on Liberland with the most ridiculous regulations that you can think of, right? So people are unable to pass the border if they are missing the second vaccination out of 15 for their dog. Mm-hmm. And people are unable to drive the bike because Croatia puts a symbol, no go for cars. But they also applied for bicycles, even though it's actually international bicycle road. You know, so if they want to put somebody in jail in Liberland, they tell him that he doesn't have a leash for his dog in Liberland, and they throw him in 4 or 5 hours, not in jail, but like they take him to the police station for not having a dog on the leash. So when you have people that actually come to experience that, it gives it a completely different spin. Like, we people really come to Liberland to enjoy this craziness where the old state is trying whatever it can to prevent the creation of a new state, which has I would say, much more favorable conditions for people to live in. You know, not just regulation-wise, but also tax-wise and other ways. So, you know, another example, right? Like, so this is actually a quite good example. So the policemen in Croatia, they don't even mind that much that they have to work overnight and long hours, but their biggest problem is the paperwork. Like, whenever they have to catch some Liberlander for doing something, they spend almost half an hour to hour filling up one single case. So if a Liberlander drives on a bicycle without helmet inside of Liberland, they're still pushed to fine him, basically.
How would they know that, though? What? How would they know someone in Liberland was?
Well, they come to visit right now. I don't have a problem with Croatia policemen visiting, right? But the problem comes when they are trying ridiculously to enforce all the potential crazy regulations. So he doesn't have a vest and he doesn't have a helmet, and they wouldn't care anywhere else in the world. But in Liberland, they're forced to sit for 1 hour and write the fine. And but while I will just finish that part, okay? But while we actually have a mobile app, and whenever somebody comes, and of course it's completely illegal for Croatia to enforce their jurisdiction outside of their borders, but they are forced to do it anyway. So we have our mobile app, and now the guy, basically a Liberland citizen, just presses a button, asks him for the number of his badge, and presses the button, and the person, the guy with the badge, immediately starts losing merits. And he doesn't have to do any paperwork. We have a mobile app for police incidents, right? and basically, then you have these two situations. So basically, I've been kidnapped by this Croatian policeman with this badge number, and he just goes click. And while this other guy is writing, the guy has not had his helmet on and his vest on, and he spends 1 hour filling all the details about it.
But what I'm confused, because Croatia are not officially claiming Liberland, right?
Yes.
Because of that sort of quirky loophole So how are they coming and enforcing Croatian law?
Well, but they're a state, you know, they can do whatever they want unless they are stopped by somebody doing it.
Right.
And right now they're really helping us to form our own jurisdiction by going there and by doing nonsense. Which, you know, otherwise we would actually have zero criminal activity. Like, Liberlanders are really nice people. They don't steal from each other. So far, so good. But when we have a bunch of Croatian policemen raiding the territory, we have some cases that we can train ourselves on how to deal with criminal activity.
And how often do you get that? How often is a Croatian policeman wandering around Liberland?
Well, they are there quite often. They don't steal directly. They always take the forestry men with them that do the stealing. Right now it's much better last week, but until last week they were coming three times a day and they tried to rob everybody.
Three times a day?
Yeah.
How many policemen are there at the local police station? That seems...
There is 150 policemen.
Wow.
Yeah. But we hired a security company that is slightly bigger than the local police unit. So they're not physically preventing them from stealing, right? But they were watching, they're documenting everything.
Do you happen to know, in historically speaking, what was the last time a new state was created in the world?
Well, Montenegro was not very long ago, right?
Right.
What about
a small one like yours? Like something. Have you got anything to look back to sort of like inspire your plan of action?
Not much.
No.
I mean, they're kind of making precedent in what we're doing.
But you're learning a lot of lessons, like you said.
Yeah.
I think the whole Free Cities movement is learning lessons. You know, if you look at all the projects within this kind of realm, you know, Prospera's now at, you know, in court with the government. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
We've got, you know, seasteaders have been now, you know, kicked off a seastead and now know, right, we need a flag. Yeah. We need a new plan of action. It's, you know, it seems to me that things like this are an inevitability, but you have to go through the process of understanding the way to navigate it if you're a pioneer. And obviously Liberland's a pioneer community, an actual pioneer community, you know, not just pioneer.
Anyway, it wouldn't be so much fun, you know, if it was so easy and it would be.
Doesn't that bother you though? Like for me,
it would bother me if it wasn't, if it was immediate, that it wasn't so much fun actually.
But you do enjoy it.
Yeah.
So you don't mind all the hassle and all the, I mean, presumably.
Again, like we've got actually people coming to really enjoy the ride, you know, it's like people really are coming to enjoy the hassle in a way because they understand it's a historical thing and they want to be part of it.
And what about the threat of violence? Is that presumably when the police turn up, they're probably armed, I take it, or, yeah. You know, is there a threat of violence?
But, you know, but there is this element which is kind of probably metaphysical, that non-violence is superior to violence, right? Like this is the like basic, and Croatians do understand it as well. They understand that they would only speed up the process of creating Liberland if they start engaging in violent actions against us. And they already experienced it by destroying all this property. You know, maybe they destroyed 20,000 euro worth of houses, or maybe a little bit more, I don't know. But they created at least 500,000 PR for Liberland at the same time. Like, you cannot really fight physically with an idea. You only are going to lose by fighting it physically.
I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with you. There's a lot of examples of that. Ideas, once they're conceived, you can't kill an idea. But you can wear people down slowly. And if your numbers are small and
we're
constant,
not small, we are 730,000 people globally.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, tell me about that then. How have you got 730,000?
Well, they applied for citizenship over the years. You know, whenever we really need people, we just send another mass mail. We need another 50 people to come down to Liberland and they come. Right now, I'm kind of happy with the numbers that there are. We needed a little bit of time. Like, things need time as well. Like, you cannot ask for everything at once. But whenever we need more people in Liberland, we just ask for them. And we really have the variety of people. You know, we have, you know, just the number of policemen that applied for citizenship of Liberland from different jurisdictions, it's enormous. Like, we can only ask for policemen to move in. But we don't want that. You know, we actually want, like, visionaries. And I want people that really wanted to enjoy the rest of the summer right now. And I even have, you know, people that are very close to my heart right now in Liberland, because it's, I think people should kind of pay us for being in Liberland in a way. But right now they're getting a big bonus by getting citizenship and some merits at the same time.
Can you describe, of the people that are now currently on Liberland, can you describe the kind of culture that you have there?
And just to give you an example, okay, so Veronika and Mirek, Kaspar are kind of the mayors of Liberland right now. These two guys, or Mirek especially, is the lead designer of Liberland Metaverse. So this is the guy that is able to create the whole Metaverse toolkit with everything you need by himself. Normally it's like work for like 7-8 different programmers and it would cost like $2-3 million. Now this guy just sits down and organizes stuff around him in a way that he does this $2-3 million job by himself within half year. So now we have a small problem. Metaverse is not being developed too much. We haven't found such a good replacement for him yet because he's occupied with building houses from sandbags in Liberland right now. But this is, I guess, a typical Liberlander that I can name. But then our Minister of Finance, Navid Sabarin, also lives there. Exciting, you know, guy that basically sold his development company in Luxembourg. They changed everything in Bitcoin to free himself from the system, and right now really goes to Liberland to make the negotiation, enjoy the ride, start the property fund for Liberland, start the sovereign fund from Liberland. And he doesn't want to do it from his office in Luxembourg, where he has a very nice office. He really wants to come down to Liberland and enjoy the rest of the summer and help make sure that the construction in Liberland kicks off properly.
Can you work from Liberland itself? Is there internet?
Of course. We've got two Starlinks, I believe, right now. So we've got 300 megabit connection, much better than you can get in most of the urban areas.
And people aren't worried about their equipment getting stolen?
No worries there right now, especially after we moved to Liberty Island. They don't have access to it. It's kind of funny, they're still trying to get access to it to be able to visit us, but they couldn't figure out how.
Is that because you need a boat?
Yeah, kind of.
And the police don't have boats?
The police does have, but they cannot officially drive the forestry man, and the police themselves cannot steal directly, so they have to always take the forestry man with them.
Right. So what, there's a law that says they can't take the forestry men to the island.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, they're kind of regulated in whoever they can take on board of the police boat. So, and especially it would just be so ridiculous. It's already too ridiculous, but if they imagine that the police boats were used to basically bring thieves to the sovereign territory of Liberland, then load those thieves with the robbery and then transport them back to Croatia. It would be just so funny.
How big is that island?
They know that themselves, that they cannot afford this.
How big is that island?
The island is 1.2 kilometers long.
Really? So what's your is that include, when you told me the total land mass earlier, the total land area.
Yes.
Was that including that island as well?
Yes.
Are there any more other bits, or is it all two islands?
No, it's basically one mainland that is connected to Croatia, basically formerly also kind of island. And then there is this smaller island, which is a strip of land, let's say 250 meter wide and 1.2 kilometers long. Now, when the water has gone down, we've got long sandy extra beaches on north and south, and also island is much wider.
And what about the weather and the climate? What's it like in the winter, for example?
Well, it's kind of Rome-like. So yes, it can snow for a week or two, but otherwise it's much better than in Czech Republic. So I enjoy the fact that right now still there is 26 degrees. We are freezing here in Prague, but in Liberland there is still nice summer.
And the flooding?
Flooding is something that happens here as frequently as in Prague as well, I would say.
I mean, when you're building, how much of your property has to take into account that flooding, for example?
Well, it's really not a big deal right now. I mean, whenever somebody builds, if we just build in a way that we expect the floods to happen on the first floor, and you just take the stuff out to the second floor, and it's not happening every year. It's not even happening every 2 or 3 years. It's happening every 6 to 10 years that we can expect some flood on the buildable parts. This year the water was fairly high, and still the top of the Liberty Island was sticking out. So if we were building whatever these sandy bag things before this summer, they would still be okay, intact, basically, even though the water was much higher than the previous 2 years.
And the main land area, does that flood completely, or is there always something?
No, there is also at least one third of the land basically never floods, or it has to be this 100-year flood, but still at least 20% of the land is not touched by the flood.
I mean, obviously there's some great engineering possibilities there going into the future.
Yeah, but it's not a big deal, you know. Even if the flood comes, like, see, there was flooding, big flooding in Prague how many years ago, and okay, people just clean it, and in 1 week you can enjoy again your house, basically, if you just use some modern technology. So if we build in respect with the fact that, yes, you know, the first floor should be not made out of materials that you have to throw away after the flooding, if it's concrete, basically, then you just clean the concrete, maybe paint it, and you are good for another 7 years without any substantial damage.
So can you describe your sort of timeline going into the future from this point? Have you got you said you were kind of getting more together with the plans, and, you know, what do you anticipate, for example, doing in the next 12 months?
Well, we would really like to start building massively in Liberland. The main project is right now the development in Marina, where we want to make nice loft houses. Then the other development are the sandbag homes on Liberty Island, as well as a bunch of yurtas and domes to be able to accommodate, let's say, 150 people in Liberland. Our plan is also before winter to substantially move forward the development of the, let's say, the presidential residence in the center, where there is this house 20 times 20 meters that was, as I mentioned, destroyed. We want to start building that from a regular bricks. There is a just cleaned well, which that's also great because we have a source of clean water almost unlimited in the center. So on all these projects, you know, I would really like them to take off in the following weeks. What we have announced is a cruise line, which basically cruises between Mohač, Liberland, Vukovar, Apatin, Mohač. So there will be a regular cruise line that will bring people from all these villages to and out of Liberland. And we want to finish the governance and launch the first Congress, which will be very exciting. And with that, also launch the justice system of Liberland. And if I finish these three things, the Congress, justice system, and we substantially built Liberland, you know, we have 90% of the work on the sovereign state basically done.
Are you expecting, if you start working on the building, for example, or a harbour, say, are you expecting the Croatian government to come in and just knock it down? Or do you think that that side of the kind of conflict, let's say, is over? Or they're just...
Well, I don't care that much. You know, either way, it's going to be a lot of fun.
You like building. Mm. Right. No, I applaud your attitude. It is the best attitude, and it's the non-violent way as well, which is good, because I think, you know, obviously if proper conflict starts, then no one wins, especially not yourselves. But it's a relatively rare attitude, that, to just keep doing the non-violent bit, you know, like, you know, live by example, literally. Just live non-violently. It's difficult when someone's coming up and knocking down what you're building. You know, I mean, you put a lot of love and energy into those kind of things. Is everyone else on board with that? The people that are there?
Well, I can tell you, two people left after the raid out of 24, how many were living there during the raid. So, you know, two people got like upset about Croatian, but the rest, you know, stayed cheerfully to wait for another round of construction.
And are these people? They must be kind of happy to be living. Presumably, there's tent. You've got tents and things like that to sort
of. It's really nice time to stay in Liberland, especially right now. Like, you're living still. I told you, there is still summertime, and people really enjoy the summer. There is great team of people there. You know, they got now supplies sorted out. They don't have to worry about anything. There is maybe six people working in logistics to make sure that they are comfortable there. And and it's still a great time to swim, actually, in Danube.
Well, I mean, what other aspects are there of Liberland are there that I'm missing? You know,
I would say, and some of the aspects I didn't even realize, actually, until recently myself, right? So what we have done, we have removed violence from the taxation policy of a state. So we basically, you know, one thing is that we have separate, okay, there are three, I would say, revolutionary things about Liberland. We separated the state and economy. Basically, we said that the state has nothing to tell about how people should organize their companies and stuff like that. So that's, I think that's a very important evolutionary step. We have removed violence from the taxation. So we replaced the relations between the state by voluntary means. You're literally buying shares when you pay taxes. So you're even incentivized to pay taxes because you're actually getting something in return. And why not the shares of the country in which you're living? And the third one, which I actually realized kind of recently, that with this merit system, these shares that you either get when you're doing something good, or you can lose them if you're committing some criminal activity, we actually also removed violence from the justice system. So these people that are coming to steal to Liberland, you know, they basically get their account with our system and they get some minus merits whenever they steal. And yes, we asked them kindly to fix their balance with Liberland. We register in detail what they have stolen and how they have stolen it. And we register the monetary value and the current value of Liberland shares. This is something that they lose. And yes, they might be asked next time they come to Liberland to fix their balance. And yes, when we have full control over who can come in and who cannot come in, they will probably not be allowed to go to Liberland. But it's also completely non-violent. We don't need to put anyone in jail. That's kind of exciting, you know. And it will still work very well. It already works well. It actually worked for the last 8 years. People came and told me, I'm going to buy a boat, just give me 20,000 euro. I gave them 20,000 euro and they never showed up. So we registered minus 20,000 merits. in their account. And later, when I told them, okay, we're launching the system fairly soon, you will be one of the top 10 criminals in the system, you might want to reconsider returning that either boat or the money, they come back with the money, they return them. So really? It has been actually working quite well from that perspective. And I think there is no reason why it wouldn't, right? Because nobody wants to be like top wanted criminal in the newly created jurisdiction in the first place. So the enforceability of our justice system was much better than if I sued them in Hungary, where nobody would care and the court case would take, you know, I don't know, 5 to 10 years.
How do you work out how many merits to dock from someone? Say one of the forestry guys coming in and taking things. How do you know how many?
Well, right now we just decided we will count the total damage and we will split it among the people. But it's not 100% fair. You know, we should try to.
So it's done on monetary value. So, yes. Right. Yes. And then, okay. And do the guys that are committing these crimes, do they actually care right now? Obviously not, but do they know, do they get it?
No, but the thing is that the whole thing is just forming and they're kind of good experimental monkeys for us for at this stage. So, and we will be nice to them because they're the first round of enforcement of our justice system. So we will probably condition the fact that we will erase their debt by the fact that they will show at least like one positive sign towards Liberland in the next round of the day, for example. If they stop participating in these raids, we will probably erase their debts towards Liberland jurisdiction or something like that.
Do they even know about them currently?
Well, you know, we explained it mostly to policemen so far. They understand that when they are holding somebody hostage, they are accumulating minus merits. These forestry men, they are currently all under the investigation of Liberland prosecutors, so we are getting their exact addresses so we can deliver them a proper letter that will explain it to them.
And can I ask who the top most wanted people are at the moment?
The interesting thing is that, you know, when we inhibited Liberland, is that I decided to make full amnesty of everybody. So there is one crazy story, I don't want to go into it, but we basically have just one Liberlander that is from within Liberland, and I hope to sort it out with him over this week. So
right. Oh, okay. So
there is only one Liberlander that is currently being under suspicion of theft.
Okay.
And I just hope that I will be able to sort it out with him over this week.
So do you have any kind of I don't know, checks? When people want to come and stay or want to be, you know, get residency or get this, is there anything, are there any things they have to be or do, or do they have to pass any tests for, you know, I don't know, like, so that trying to mitigate the chance of getting unsavory people living amongst you, or do you not mind?
Well, we have this e-residency program and we basically motivate people to become e-residents first before settling. So we at least have their proper background and we find out that they have a clean criminal record. But I have to knock, you know, we have really nice people coming down. And I think like Liberland by its nature doesn't attract crazy people in that way.
Presumably though, over the long term, I mean, if you follow the timeline forward, obviously, and you get sovereignty, especially if you get real sovereignty, you will have quite large powers to attract whoever you want, business as well, this kind of thing. What is the long-term plan for Liberland? If it goes according to, you know, the way you imagine when you're sleeping at night, what does it look like in, say, 50 years' time?
A long-term plan is take over the world and leave people alone. So that's the secret long-term plan.
Sorry, say it again.
Take over the world and leave people alone.
So the whole of the Liberland concept takes over the world. Right, but Liberland itself, I mean, obviously, unless you conquer Croatia or the other side of the river, it's going to be limited to that bit of space, let's say. So what's the plan for Liberland there?
Well, you know, I think it's going to be a very nice financial hub, and it will be kind of mecca of the libertarian or Liberland movement. So people will come to visit it for that particular purpose. You know, our plan is a short-term plan is actually to build the best kids park in the world, and that's why I'm working with this Miraculum guys here that already built one of the best parks in Europe, a natural park. They're coming to visit next week, and then we also have investor for the highest building in the world. So I hope they're coming also before Christmas.
Really?
So that's what, the
on Liberland.
Yes,
the highest building in the world. Yeah, so that's taller than the Burj Khalifa.
That's the these guys are from Mexico and from Texas. They have quite a deep pockets, and they can do this. And they're struggling now with building it in Texas. So I hope they could really do it in Liberland. And it would be actually nice to have the biggest and the best kids park where also the adults can enjoy, and then put some office buildings into proper vertical structure. And of course, it doesn't have to be highest, but they already have the project for it. So why not?
I mean, if it was the highest, the base of the. The building would be bloody ginormous. I've been to the Burj Khalifa. It's massive. Yeah,
but it's all just a technicality, right? It's just a bunch of concrete on the other hand. And if somebody has the money for it, like these guys do, because they have some serious funds behind their backs that are connected to basically Federal Reserve, so why not? You know, if they can afford it, they can build it. We will even give them the plot of land.
So you mentioned just now about, you know, Liberland taking over the world. Is it an idea, and franchise is the wrong word, but you know what I mean. Is it an idea you're hoping to sort of franchise?
Well, I hope that the good idea spread well, you know, and that it will be the case with Liberland.
But obviously you've found a bit of land that is non-sovereign, which is, I mean, how important do you think that is, you know, according to your... I mean, this, I'm thinking of Liebestadt, for example, and who have kind of decided to just do it within the confines of a nation state, but have a similar attitude. Actually, I spoke to them the other day, and it's like the attitude of, well, I'm just gonna whatever, you know, my idea is that this belongs to us and we're sovereign, and that's where it stops. I'm not even going to listen to
well, this approach. I think it will be always a little bit more difficult than the one that we are taking on right now, but who knows. And I think the most important thing is that people simply, you know, they will start following what really works and what is possible, so that maybe in 10 to 15 to 20 years, our model will simply be the only viable model of nation state. Because so many things will happen technologically. You know, it's very difficult to extrapolate now at this exponential and technological boost that is happening. But I think... And of course, you know, I don't see the future completely. I see only bits of it. The likelihood that basically no other state than Liberland-like state will survive in 10 to 20 years from now is also one of those possible futures.
That's interesting. Can you just elaborate a little bit on what you mean by the technological side of it? Like, what is it about the 21st century that means that states are on the way out in their current form?
Well, because what will simply happen, that states like Liberland will be technologically, financially, and organizational-wise superior to existing states that will be collapsing under the burden of debt, basically, and burden of inefficiency will basically ruin itself by its own bureaucracy.
So what do you think the optimum size is then?
I don't think there is... Like optimal size. I mean, optimal size in terms of number of people?
Yes.
I think it's very nice to have these city-states, nation-state, you know, and the idea of 1,000 Europe formed out of 1,000 Liechtensteins that was formulated by Hermann Hans Hoppe is a nice one. Maybe this is the way to go. But, you know, what we know very well that, again, the states as they are right now, as I started this conversation, are tremendous destruction machines for prosperity. They are doing it in an amazing pace, right? Like if, for example, European Commission says that its regulations are destroying 4% of economic growth per year, it's the same thing like they say every 20 years we drop atomic nuclear bomb on half of the continent. You know, people don't realize how much destruction there is behind this. We are just taking away 4% of economic growth by these 600,000 pages of regulations. And it's actually much more. It's probably between 4 to 7% just by the sheer stupidity of the regulation that was put in place in places like EU. And then there is another layer, this taxation. Of course, if you steal somebody money from somebody productive and you give it to somebody non-productive, you again steal 4, 5, 6, 7%. So I think the healthy society globally would probably grow at the pace of 10 to 20% really regularly. I think with Liberland we can do much better because we will become a hub, experimental hub, where a lot of capital will flow immediately once things starting taking off even a little bit more seriously. But the rest of the world, it's not like Liberland will be stealing the prosperity from the rest of the world. No, the rest of the world can actually have it as well once they unleash the economic potential of the freedom, which is enormous.
Are you optimistic on the future of the rest of the world?
I am. I think it's just a matter. Okay, there might be some shit shows in the process, but on the other hand, you know, I know that the system that we are putting in place can actually work in any kind of society. So, and I think it will be adopted in basically almost any kind of society.
Can you describe then what you think the world's going to look like in 100 years? Or no, let me rephrase that. What would you hope the world would look like in 100 years?
Well, everything depends on the shape of singularity that we are probably going to achieve before that.
Well, include that then.
If the singularity, it's really difficult to look behind singularity because, you know, like... I think singularity basically means, but it's more of a religious, you know, understanding or metaphysical, basically means the reset of reality.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit? What talk about it in terms of well, your what the experience of it would be. What would be my experience of life after the singularity, for example?
It's a difficult one because we're looking behind the horizon and, you know, and again, like for my current understanding, basically it's a reset of reality. Basically means we go into another version of reality looking basically for the meaning of life, right? So,
but physical reality is identical.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. And you know, this notion that our observation of reality is actually what creates reality in the first place, it's kind of inevitable as well. So, but you know, these things are a bit heavy for this type of interview.
I'm interested in them because, you know, you can look into the future and see quite a dystopian future ahead. It's very easy to see, even with a singularity, I think, because technology is also empowering authoritarians, and networks of control are also being optimized in quite a horrendous way, and you can really see it now. It's no longer something. It's very easy to predict the world after, say, in 2040 and 2050, with you know, travel being limited, using algorithms and using social credit scores and using all these kind of things. So I'm very much into hearing the optimistic version of the future. And if it involves talking about life after the singularity, I'm all for it.
Well, my humble opinion on this, that there is basically no life after singularity, that it basically means restarting the existence. So if you have consciousness, which is basically all-knowing, it's going to probably collapse the existence itself. Even on the physical level, it will actually... Like, what is physical again? But it will probably just mean the collapse of reality and restart of the whole evolution cycle in this probably never-ending seeking for the meaning of life, right? So,
but how important will your physical position be in all that? Like, how important will it be to be on Liberland at that moment, for example?
No, it's not important at all. It's just good fun.
I like talking about things like this. So can I just get something straight? So the reason that you describe it that way is because you see consciousness as a projection. as the world as a projection of consciousness. So yes. If your consciousness changes that much, everything changes. Hmm. Everything. Yeah, I could go with that. But the singularity is a technological thing. So are you saying it's when we are...
This goes back to how different is my consciousness from your consciousness, and how different is the consciousness created by this technology from my consciousness as well, right? So it's a... But of course, you know, this is a, I'm sitting from the position of one element trying to explain what the hell is going on around me. But and I might have completely wrong conclusions about this, but this is my own conclusion.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I should imagine that gives you quite a good opportunity to enjoy the ride now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, enjoying something like creating a new country and all the hassle and bullshit that goes along with that is a skill, I think.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, like I say, I would be worried sleeping at night on Liberland that someone's going to knock on my door and give me hassle, mm-hmm. you know. So it is a skill.
No. I wake up 30 seconds before they go, and it was a very funny story. I have to tell you that one, right? So I actually go there to, there is this meanest policeman out of all, you know, probably went through total crap during the war and really takes the existence of Liberland personally. So I really wanted to spend at least one night with him, one against one, just to try to understand his nature. And so I go there and at night, and you know, he pretends he will shoot me if I land in Liberland, but I land anyway, you know. I tell him good night, enjoy. And then he comes to me every 2-3 hours, and they with the siren, and they come to check my papers. But I don't sleep anyway, because I was in high hero mode, so I needed like half an hour of sleep. And I had this half an hour between 5 and 5:30. So 5:30, I wake up, and these guys, I can hear the boat already coming, and they start a siren, and I'm still in bed, you know, working already something on the phone. I'm naked, so I jump out, you know, and greet them, hello comrades, right? And I can see their faces completely red. They turn the boat around immediately, not checking my papers. I'm like with my document by waving at them, right?
Really? So
and so what they did, they sued me for insulting them, for being naked, right? Well, 2 days before, they actually kidnapped a bunch of Serbians and they stripped them naked during the interrogation for 2 or 3 hours, just because they are crazy a little bit. But you know, it's funny that I'm being sued for saluting and on a Liberland nude beach, which we declared officially before that this is a closing optional area. So I'm being sued by policemen, Croatian policemen, for greeting them 5:30 naked, and they claim that they came to check my documents. Why they didn't check them? You know, they ran away immediately after they saw me.
it remind me of the Merry Pranksters. You know the Merry Pranksters from. Well, it's self-explanatory. Yeah. The Merry Pranksters. There is a very deeply humorous aspect to this whole thing, and I suppose it's necessary. It's a necessary part of creating a new nation, because you are the jesters in the court, aren't you? Really.
Yeah.
And you know, the jesters are the only ones in the court that actually get to tell the truth as well. Because, I mean, it's a very useful tactic, actually, when you think about it. It not only sustains yourselves and gets you up in the morning because you can laugh about it, but it is also the only way to non-violently oppose the state, in a way, in humorous ways.
But, you know, you don't believe how much fun we actually had that, because they then asked me to the police station to explain my actions, because I was sued by the policeman for, and there was like 4 people, 2 from secret, because whenever I go to police, there's always 2 people from secret police, one somebody from government, and then the inspector and another policeman, right? And we were having a hilarious blast with these guys for like 2 hours.
And they're writing it all up.
At the same time, we moved the negotiations with Croatia a little bit further.
Do you think they'll get bored of it after a while?
You never get bored of this, but probably it will simply... These policemen will sooner or later be replaced by somebody else.
And what do you think the timeline of diplomatic relationships with Croatia is?
Well, you know, I think the shaking hands with the Croatian president was a very good start. And I just hope that, especially with the probably with the next government in place, we'll be able to have a full diplomatic dialogue. Right now we're working on opening of our embassy, which is right next to the presidential palace. It's a very nice house, former Pakistani embassy. And at the same time, I would like to open the Belgrade trade office. Let's call it trade office because they're touchy about calling it embassy. But future embassy, I can say that. Those are two important milestones for us. 23rd of October is opening of our Belgrade office, probably soft opening of the Zagreb office at the same time. Like, I would like to keep the opening of the offices on the same day so we show same respect to both countries.
Well, it's a fascinating story and a fascinating project and a fascinating set of events that I suppose anyone in this world should watch closely. Anyone in the freedom world or in the certainly the free cities world should watch very closely, because as far as I know, there's nobody else out there doing it at this level with this much antagonism, I suppose. You know, most people like the idea of working with governments. You're taking a much probably necessary route of taking the piss out of government, which is the only words I can think of. But
people can say that that's antagonistic way, but literally what they're doing right now is that they're mentoring us in the most mildly state approach possible. Like, they might think they're harsh on us, but what they're actually doing is very nice from many levels. And again, like, they're literally helping us to form the justice system, the system of prosecutors, the system of all this new generation of how to actually deal with people coming to our land stealing from us.
But they may well be trying to antagonize you as well, though. And obviously, the first time that someone loses their cool from the Liverland side, then your public image can be tarnished quite quickly. And I would imagine that's quite an important part of establishing what's going on in Liverland is keeping generally people on side, you know, especially Croatians, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll say good luck. I don't even know what that means. You know, I think whatever anyone says, you're probably going to carry on doing this thing. But I will be watching it closely because I think it's absolutely phenomenal.
Just to buy as well.
I will.
25 days is not that long.
Really? And then what? I get a passport and everything. Yeah. Jeepers creepers. It'd be my only second passport, actually. Vit, thanks for coming and talking to us. And yeah, I wish you good fortune in your endeavors.
Thank you.
And certainly would want to speak to you about this again at another stage.
Amazing. Thanks for the nice interview.
Thank you.